A teenage boy had just passed his driving test and inquired of his dad as to when they could discuss the use of the family car. His father said he'd make a deal. You bring your grades up from a C to a B average, study your Bible every day, and get your hair cut. And then we'll talk about the car. The boy thought about that for a moment, decided he'd settle for the offer, and they agreed on it. Well, 6 weeks went by, and his father said, "Son, you brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been studying your Bible, but I'm disappointed that you haven't cut your hair." The boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. Moses had long hair. And there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." And his dad said, "And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went?" In today's gospel, we see the Lord walking to Jerusalem. It says in Scripture, he resolutely determined on his journey to Jerusalem. The original Greek says he set his face toward Jerusalem. See, the Lord knew what his mission was, and that was to redeem the world, to die on the cross for you and for me and for the whole world. That was his purpose in life, was to come into the world to die for our salvation. Bishop Sheen says that we come into the world to live. Jesus came into the world to die. That was his mission, to redeem the world, to pay the price for the sins of the entire world. And so Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem, and they're about to enter a Samaritan village. And the disciples go ahead to prepare for the Lord passing through the Samaritan village, and they would not welcome him. The Jews and Samaritans were always in conflict, and they did not get along. And because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they would not let the Lord stay there or pass through there. And so James and John, the sons of thunder, because they're so filled with zeal, they said to the Lord, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy their village?" So you have to love these apostles, right? James and John, they're so filled with zeal. And the Lord rebukes them. See, the Lord did not want vengeance. He did not want revenge. See, zeal is good. We should have zeal for the kingdom of God, zeal for the faith, but not revenge or vengeance. And that's what James and John were trying to get back at the Samaritans for not welcoming the Lord. And so they continue walking. They continue their journey. And somebody says to the Lord, "I will follow you wherever you go." And then Jesus has an interesting response. He says, "I don't have a home. You know, foxes have their dens, birds of the sky have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, are you willing to sacrifice and pay the price and to give up a home and a family to follow me? Now, St. John Vianney makes an interesting point when he talks about this. He says, there is one place that Jesus wants to rest his head, and that is in each of our hearts. When we receive Holy Communion, we become the temple of God, the dwelling place of the Lord himself. So yes, Jesus has nowhere to lay his head except in our hearts when we receive him worthily and well in Holy Communion. And then another person comes up to Jesus and says, "You know, I want to follow you, Lord. But first, let me go and bury my father." Notice he was putting conditions on it. Jesus called him, "Follow me," which was Jesus' shortest sermon in the history of his sermons. Just two words, "Follow me." And the man says, "Lord, I will, but first, let me go and bury my father." Jesus' response seems pretty harsh. He says, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come and proclaim the kingdom of God." So what is this referring to? You know, let the dead bury the dead. Well, perhaps his father was elderly or sick, and maybe it was going to be a while, maybe a few months or a few years, that he was going to stay home and take care of his father. So that's what the expression could mean, that let me go first and bury my father. It could just mean that they needed to take care of the funeral preparations, or that it was going to be a much longer period of time. And Jesus is saying, let somebody else take care of that. But you, I'm calling you to be spiritually alive. Let the spiritually dead take care of that. But I want you to become spiritually alive, to be an apostle, to be a disciple, to proclaim the kingdom of God. So you see, the Lord is challenging this man to put him first rather than even family ties. And isn't this the case with a vocation? If somebody calls a young man to the priesthood or a girl to religious life, you leave father and mother, you leave your home, and you become attached to Christ, and you have to give up some of these family ties. And it's a sacrifice, of course, but the Lord says, but come and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another person says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. See, all these people had conditions, they all had reservations, they all had restrictions, and they all were saying, Lord, I'll follow you, but I want to do this. Or, Lord, I'll follow you, but I want to do that. Bishop Sheen once joked that a lot of people go to hell on their butts because they say, I'll follow you, Lord, but I want to do this. Or I'll follow you. There's some examples of this. A person says, oh, I'm a good person, but I don't go to church. Have you ever heard that, right? Oh, I think I'm a good person, but I don't go to church. Or I'm a good Catholic, but I haven't gone to confession in 5 years. Whenever we use that word, we're saying we're putting restrictions on following Christ, conditions on following Christ. I'm sure you've heard this. Oh, I'm a Catholic, but I don't follow the church's teaching on abortion or contraception or sterilization or whatever the issue it might be. We're putting ourselves in a very dangerous place if we put conditions or restrictions or reservations on following Christ. Somebody says, I'm a Catholic, but I don't accept the teachings of the Holy Father. Very dangerous to be in that place. And the Lord today is calling us to conversion, to follow Him without reservation, without conditions. We don't want to say, I'll follow you, Lord, but we want to say, I will follow you, Lord, completely and wholeheartedly and totally. See, all these people that the Lord called, we don't know who they are because they went back into obscurity. Now, the Lord was calling some of these men to be apostles, to be disciples. They would have churches named after them around the world if they had followed Christ. But we don't know who they are because they were not willing to follow Christ totally, unconditionally, and wholeheartedly. They went drifted back into obscurity because they put conditions and restrictions on following Christ. And then the Lord concludes by saying, no one who puts his hand to the plow and keeps looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, we have to be like Elisha following Elijah, who immediately left and followed Elijah the prophet in the first reading. The idea is we set our hand to the plow and we keep moving forward. We don't keep looking back. Sometimes people get discouraged about their life of sin in the past and they keep looking back. Jesus says, no, move forward. Go to confession. Move forward. A good analogy is if you're driving a car, you want to be looking through the windshield, right? You don't want to always be looking in the rearview mirror. If you drive and look in the rearview mirror all the time, you know what's going to happen? You're going to crash. You can't keep looking back. You have to keep looking forward towards heaven, towards following Christ, towards eternal life. When they train horses, don't they put blinders on the horses, right? To keep them looking forward, looking ahead. And that's what we need to do in following the Lord as well. You put blinders on, you set your hand to the plow, and you follow Christ faithfully and totally and unconditionally, always looking forward, not looking back. God bless you.